Welcome to Made in Science, the official podcast of the University of Stuttgart. As you may very well know, the University of Stuttgart offers a wide variety of study programs. One of them is called Technically Oriented Business Administration. We want to highlight that one today because it celebrates its 50th anniversary. And yes, that's right, 50. 50 years of technically oriented business administration. Our guest today is Emesche Weissenbacher, who is a 1994 graduate from that program. Now, she is Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at Mann & Hummel, based in Ludwigsburg. She is responsible for the functional areas IT, finance and controlling, mergers and acquisitions, digital, HR, technology, as well as global business and technical solutions. Let's find out about her career path, what really happened until she became the responsible for so many areas. And let's talk about diversity in today's business world. So first of all, very well welcome, Emesche Weissenbacher, to our podcast.
Hello. Thank you very much for the invitation.
You studied technically oriented business administration in the 1990s at the University of Stuttgart. In your reflection, what did the program at that time look like for you in the 1990s, which really is not only from the last century, but some time ago already?
So it was a very normal university. So I studied in Romania as well. The only difference for me was probably the size of the buildings, the number of the people. How the rooms looked like, it was very similar. So relationship between the professors, assistants, and students was very similar. What was strange for me or new is that I didn't get a fixed agenda for the week or for the semester and for the year. I had to make my mind up how to organize myself and cover the lessons which were necessary. It was a good training for me in taking more responsibility and ownership for myself, for my own development.
Now, the one thing that was very much fixed, I guess, was that combination between business and also engineering. In that particular combination, was the program, when you saw it in the 1990s, when you found out about it, very unique in Germany? And was that one of the reasons why you had chosen to study in Stuttgart?
Okay, to be honest, it was not a conscious choice of me. It was more a coincidence because at that time I was already married and I had a little son. And I was looking around, finding a university where I can commute in order to be able to drop my son in the kindergarten and to pick him up in time. I was lucky about this because it was different, of course, to other universities for business administration. And secondly, because technical sciences were somehow close to me because natural sciences were close to me. So I was good in mathematics, physics in the school. Then my father was technician. So I learned a lot from him and we did a lot together at home. I always had a good feeling for technical things. So therefore, it was a perfect fit for me.
What is certainly a given is that in the particular program of business administration with technical orientation, we have that combination of knowledge of business and economic relationships, mm-hmm. which requires mathematical and statistical methods, but also engineering classes. And in those classes, students actually can choose between production technology, automotive engineering, and transport fields today. Now, today, that is my key word here. Which aspects of business administration with technical orientation for you working in the company are relevant today?
So not only today, but also looking back and comparing my start at the company with other colleagues who didn't study on the same university, but they studied business administration without this technical background, is that I had, due to this, a great chance to get closer to the real life of a company, right? Because in these classes for this technical orientation, you get also an insight how companies are working, how their processes are, how they are structured, right? And how all these pieces are fitting together, right? And you were not just staying on, I would say, somehow on a virtual level, what you get if you are only studying controlling, accounting, tax, financing, and so on. So these very core classes of a business administration. So I would say that I was better prepared for a production company, to be very honest. Of course, it would have been not needed if I would like to start in a consulting or bank or an insurance company. And this is what I see today as well, that students coming with more practical backgrounds are much better prepared for production companies.
When you look at students today, how can alumni help to attract students for the study program that we are talking about here at the university, this technical orientation in business studies? You, as somebody who went through the program and somebody who has a lot of responsibility at Mann and Hummel also, how would you address students these days?
First of all, I would love to go to schools, to gymnasiums, and to motivate future students, potential students who have not decided yet what they want to study, and to talk about my experiences and explaining or telling them that if they really like mathematics, physics, but they still not decided to study only a natural science, then the combination of business administration and technical sciences is something special where they can cover all their passions for natural sciences. And this gives them also the opportunity then to work in roles in companies where they are very close to people, right? They get the best preparation to become leaders in the companies. Yes.
When you came to Mann and Hummel, what was the work situation like for you?
It was I would say at that time, typical Swabian family-owned company. At that time, with my background, controlling and strategic planning, I had the great chance to start in the first controlling team of this company. So until then, there was only accounting. This offered to me huge opportunities to learn much faster, as I could do it in a bigger company, where probably in the first years I could have only print out some reports. Here I had the great opportunity to have an active part in the designing of the reporting process, the reports itself, even directly with the CEO of the company, to implement the software for reporting, not only in corporate, but also in the subsidiaries, so in the locations outside of Germany. So what I want to say, I don't want to list all great opportunities what I got, but at that time, I had a huge room to grow. So also in the next years of my career, was the same. It depended on me how big the jump should be or can be in the deep water, but the opportunities were there. And what is also very interesting that all my bosses were men, all these men gave me the best opportunities of my professional life. Without them, I would have not been there where I am today. Therefore, really, this gender discussion I just learned from the public, and I was just wondering whether I am living in a special world, that Mann und Hummel has a special culture, or the outside world is not seeing the opportunities, and women are just waiting that somebody is pampering them in order to get the chance to move forward, right? Today, I am sure that the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? For sure, there were companies where there was a glass ceiling, right, for women, but for sure, this was not the case for me at Mann und Hummel.
Did you have any role models, any female role models in business life that you could relate to?
I had only male role models. And I believe it was much more important because at the end I had to handle or to develop my career in a male world at that time. So it was good that I learned to understand how they are working, how they are functioning, right? And the rest, it was actually with me. I just stayed who I am. So and this combination, I think, paid out at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. I read in one of the interviews that you gave a quote: "In a world dominated by men, it is not enough to be smart and professionally competent. Successful women are not only rational thinkers, but are also capable of intentionally utilizing their intuitive and emotional intelligence. They know the functions of interpersonal dynamics. Women have mastered the art of giving the right attention value at the right time. Unquote. I would like to ask you what you mean by right attention value.
One of my core values is to respect everybody independently of the origin, independently of the status, independently of course, of gender, color, age, hierarchical level, and to meet everybody on the on eye level, right? And because I believe that, or I am convinced that all of us, or each of us, only want to be seen, right? To be taken seriously, and in order to have really a true exchange on opinions, and if you do this, then I believe that we are able, or I believe that this is the only way to be able to put ourselves in the shoes of the others, and to understand their stand of point. And doing this, we really understand where they are, where can we onboard them on our journey if we want to convince them. And then we understand why they are doing what they are doing, right? So one of my very first leadership lessons were that if I am entering a new department as a leader or a new area, then first I should really give time to myself to learn what the people did and why they did it, right? And after understanding this, I should really think about the changes, right? And then if these two is happening, then I will be also able to communicate why I want to change, right? And then the people will follow. For sure, not 100%, right? But at least the 60%, 70%. And they feel very much respected in their work. Right? Because I don't go in and I say that I know everything, right? And now we do how I want, and everything what you did before is wrong. So, and this is what I mean to give the right attention to the people.
We live in times of transformation, and some of the relevant topics in today's world are digital transformation, resilience, platform economy, and sustainability. In your mind, why are these topics relevant for the future? And is there, in your mind, any topic of these four that you would think deserves right now the particular attention of companies and society?
So I believe that both topics were relevant in the past as well. But there are certain changes in the boundary conditions, why they became more relevant today. So if you look into the topic digitalization, so actually we are digitalizing for many decades already. So as I started in the company in 1994, Manu Thummel had already have SAP, right? I was the first generation to get a laptop, not a laptop, a desktop at that time. So And automation in the production was ongoing, right? It was already not new. So I believe the digitalization is not a new topic. What is new in digitalization that today we have technologies which we can leverage on with new digital technologies. That there are technologies which we can really leverage, for the data we have already collected and created in our systems, right? And leveraging on this data, we can have faster and better insights where we can improve efficiency of our processes. Where can we really build new business models and monetizing data what we have in the system? And therefore, digitalization became a different importance in for us today. So the new digital technologies are offering to us huge opportunities, right? To improve the top line and to improve the bottom line of the P&L and at the end of the cash. And due to this, there is a huge transformation of the companies possible, right, towards new business models. So regarding sustainability, to be very honest, we always knew that we have only this one Earth, right? And if we are talking about this, about clean water, clean air, then there is no mine or yours, it is ours, right? But somehow it was not so conscious to us that all these are very scarce resources. And we cannot damage them, and we cannot utilize them to the edge, right? Due to the climate change, what we are experiencing, because we were not conscious about our responsibility, we are just forced now to put sustainability on our agenda. But here, what is important for me, that also digitalization innovative solutions should help us to solve the problem.
Right now, in this particular context, is there a particular area, a special topic that you are currently working on and want to pursue in the near future with strong emphasis?
Of course. So our company is going through a multidimensional transformation. So the current transformation of the automotive industry is forcing us to rethink our business model. This is also the reason, but not only this, that we are transferring our filtration competence into new segments outside of the automotive industry. So, and in this multidimensional transformation, digitalization is one stream. As almost every company, I believe digitalization is very high on the agenda. And here we are following three streams. So digitalizations of the processes, digitalization, defining new business models, and also to innovate smart products. So regarding sustainability, I have the privilege to work for a company which mission it's about sustainability, right? So first, our vision is leadership in filtration, and filtration is a technology which has the mission to separate the useful from the harmful, right? So with everything what we are doing every day, we are contributing to save this world for the next generations and to make it worthful to live on.
You have told me that the colleagues you work with in the company come from many countries. You have a very, very international company that right there in Ludwigsburg. And I'm not even sure if all of them are in Ludwigsburg or how far spread the company is in our digital world. What does that international aspect do with the work that that you do with the objectives of the company?
Companies like Mann & Hummel have a global presence, right? That means that we are in different cultural areas. So, and to lead a company which is set up in this way to capture the global market is only possible if you have if you do this with local people in the respective market, right? To go to India, to China, or to South America, or even to the US with a German mindset, right? You will recognize that it just didn't work, right? And we learned this through many years, and we changed the strategy. So Mann & Hummel, I believe, is one of the companies which is working with less expats. That means with sending people from Germany to other locations in the world, and we learned that for us, I can of course only talk about us. For us, this is the best setup because this helps also for the German leaders to understand better and faster other cultures. It leads to a very healthy, controversial discussion. And this helps us at the end to develop markets faster and more profitable. So this diversity is for us one of the success factors.
And to bring it home again at the end of our conversation, what wish do you have for the graduates of the University of Stuttgart in the particular field of management and science who do come from our study program? How should they be prepared? What do you expect of a graduate from this study program?
I would say, first of all, it doesn't matter what you are studying or what the students are studying. Is more the mindset topic on I have expectations, right? And what do I mean by saying this is first to be courageous, right? To try out new things, right? To jump in the deep water. Otherwise, you will never learn what are your limits and where are your weaknesses and strengths, where you have had to develop or strengthen your strengths to become even more successful. To stay curious, because the life is about continuous learning, right, until the end, and to be performative. That means that you are competitive. That means that you are willing to go the extra miles, right, for the things you are believing in it, right? So this I would see the mindset topic. Regarding professional skills, is what is for me, what I would really recommend is to do as much trainings as possible in companies or in the sector they want to start. Really to have a good feeling what is the real life about. Because the university is a very good preparation in a lot of theoretical topics, right, concepts, which is very much needed. Nevertheless, the real life is then totally different. And what is today important, really to come closer to topics, what you said, digitalization. But here, what I see that we are missing is really the understanding of processes end to end in the companies, because you can only smartly digitalize if you know where are the inefficiencies, right? Otherwise, you would digitalize inefficiencies, and this would not make a lot of sense. Then to understand, if you're talking about sustainability, to come back to this topic as well, but here based on innovation. So how can we keep this world sustainable by innovating a new technical solution and not saying that we are flying now less, right? Because we have to be aware that the world is not only Europe and Germany. The world is about Africa and Asia, where the next 1 billion people will be born, and we cannot tell them not to fly, for example, right? But last but not least, where I would encourage students is to become entrepreneurs. So this what Germany and Europe desperately needs, right? To try out new ideas, to found startups and do their own business. So unfortunately, I am coming from a culture where this was not on the agenda, right? In a socialist country, it was just important that you have a very solid job, your family, and that's it. So I never thought about to become an entrepreneur. Of course, to a certain respect, my current job allows me to act and think entrepreneurial. But I believe that that Germany needs another entrepreneurship, and this is probably what also the universities should think about, how they really teach and encourage students to found companies, right? And how the German universities are innovating a lot. There are a lot of brilliant minds. And the question is how we bring all these ideas into the market, and due to this, to create a competitive advantage for Germany and for the continent.
Thank you for that outlook and also the encouragement to rethink some of the ways that we have established so far and reflect about what may come and what we already experience in the world around us and how to proceed. Thank you for that. Now, we end our conversations in this podcast with seven questions, and we would like you to answer them only very briefly. We call it Moment 7. Thank you. Spätzle or Maultaschen?
Spätzle.
Moment two. If there's one thing that you could change about the world, what would that be?
It's education. I would make this gift to everybody.
Moment three. Do you have a media recommendation for us? A book or a movie or music that you particularly like?
Yes, I am listening to more podcasts, so to several podcasts, of course, but two are very close to my heart, and this is Gabor Steingart's The Pioneer, the podcast of Daniel Stelter, Beyond the Obvious, which is, in my opinion, one of the best economical podcasts.
Moment four. The best advice that you have ever received was?
As I mentioned in our interview, Wolfgang, is if you go into new areas as leader, then you first just listen to the people, respect their work, because they did it for certain reasons, and which based on their skills and competences, and they want just to create the best of their organization and for their companies. And after you understood all this, you just start your agenda and to implement the changes you would like to do.
Moment five. The favorite place at the University of Stuttgart for you was?
It was the... can we call it canteen?
Yeah, the cafeteria, of course.
The cafeteria, yes, where I could really connect with my friends, colleagues.
Moment six. If I could start all over again, I would do the following differently.
I would have more kids.
Moment seven. Please complete this sentence. Thanks to my studies, I know that...
Thanks to my studies, I know that this is just the starting of my learning journey.
Thank you, Emesche Weisenbacher, very much for our conversation and for your time today. Wishing you all the very best in the changes that you represent, I take it. And we talked about role models. I don't even know if that is still a good term, but I definitely think that there is an inspiration in your path of career for many people, for future female leaders, especially. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Wolfgang, for the talk. So it was a great time what I spent with you. So thank you very much for the invitation again.
You are very welcome. Thank you. From the podcast team to our audience, please stay tuned for our next conversations that are always based on what is made in science. My name is Wolfgang Holtkamp. Have a great podcasting day. Goodbye and good talking.